we bless you, Father. We do thank you today. And let thine anointing rest upon the hearing of the word of faith and upon the preaching today, Yahweh, that the words may go forth resoundingly and that it may pierce the hearts of thy people and they may receive the infallible truth that thou art the everlasting Elohim and there is none other like you. We bless you today and we thank you. And bless the hearts of thy people. Let the word be a soothing, healing balm of Gilead to the soul, Father. Let it be the refreshing of the soul that is needing in this hour. And for that we thank you, Yahweh. We bless you. For all things in the glorious name of Messiah, our hope, our everlasting King. In thy name we pray. You may be seated. We bless him for all things today. It's a good thing, as David says, a very wonderful thing to come into the house of Yahweh. We began to extol him and to exalt his name. It's a name that is very precious, and for that I'm very grateful and very thankful. For all that he is doing, we attribute all things unto him, whatever it is, we thank him. Because our steps, if we are walking in this good news, then our steps are ordered by him. And everything that he speaks unto us, it is for the preserving of our souls. It preserves us for this correction, chastisement, reproof and rebuke, or exaltation and strength to the inward part. It is to preserve the souls and that life, the breath that is in a man's heart, that bring forth, and that breath will truly bring forth this fullness in a man. Whatever the breath represents, it will bring forth that fullness. Now, if it is charged by the powers of darkness, then that breath of the man will bring forth those things that are vile, corrupt, wicked. It will have a satanic overture. And everything he does will be promoted by some vile, unclean spirit. That's the breath of a man's soul, and that's the life in him. Now, if he's walking in the counsel of Yahweh, then the breath will cause him, as the anointing was upon Messiah, Yahweh's anointed, and he went about doing good. That's what Scripture says. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the man has that anointing that he will go about doing righteously. His heart will desire righteous things. And he will do them because he knows who he is led of. He's not being led by some carnal spirit, fleshly intuition or wisdom, but he's been led by the Father. And if there's ever been an hour upon the face of the earth, and it is in this hour, we must be led by him. That is our only assurance that we are sons. For they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of Yahweh. And that is our only assurance in this hour, that we are led by the Spirit. And every word that Messiah spoke, it was spirit and it was life. Every word. And so his strength of the words that he preached, he had to draw from those things that were written that Yahweh had established in the earth. There's one thing about every ordinance and every law, it is written. You get on the highway and you see the sign that says 55. You will know when it changed to 35 because it will identify that. And so that's what the Father has done. He has written these ordinances and these statutes, commandments and laws, not in a physical sense in pages, although he has, but he's put them in the heart of man. And he's preserved them in the inward parts of a man, in the inward parts, in his soul. He's preserved them there. And when a man began to tinker around with Yahweh, then he would begin to try to destroy those things that he has put in a man. And that's what we have such corruption today. It is so vile today and so wicked. If a man is not truly led by the Spirit, he's going to be led by his own ways. And all of his ways seem right. It must be a sure thing in our souls today. And the Spirit will lead us in the way of truth and righteousness. It will not lead us in a way of error, whereby we will have disdain for him. Or we will cast him aside or forsake him. Now that's not the Spirit of truth. That's the Spirit of error. It has come from the powers of darkness. It comes by the hand of Satan. It causes a man to walk in error. And he literally thinks he's walking in truth. His mind becomes so seared in his conscience, whereby there's no light in his conscience to bring alive the truth when he hears it.
Now that is what the Spirit of Yahweh does. It brings alive the Word in our conscience that is with us all the day long. All the night long in our subconscious, as they would say, it brings it alive. We may hear things, and yet we don't retain them. But it is the Spirit that knows all things, and Yahweh knows all things. And so we hear the words of faith and the words of strength. They may become embedded in our subconscious, if I may use that expression. They go down into the inward parts. His words, the words of Yahweh, they're precious, they're jewels. He doesn't send them out for them not to be productive. So he doesn't just send them into any kind of a place. They're very precious jewels and they're very precious stones. It's just not something to go out and it's finished once it goes out. It doesn't do that. It has a course to go. And the Word continuously brings us into that pathway of righteousness. And so when he speaks to our hearts, he doesn't put the Word in our hearts. That's why David wanted to hide it in his heart, that he will not sin. He wanted it to be preserved. And the Spirit, Yahweh, brings it alive by His Spirit. And it calls the Word to come alive in your soul and to bring us unto the understanding of judgment and statutes and laws of Yahweh, whereby we're not willing to forsake Him and to turn our hearts away from Him and to go after strange kinds of spirits that lead us astray from Him. Anything that leads you astray from the righteous law. And the righteous law is that a man will walk in the truth of Yahweh. He understands Messiah, that He is the truth of the Father. And that truth is that He wanted to reveal the Father unto us. Now that's what He wants to do. The Father wants to be known in a personal way in our lives. And we honestly look at things. He is known in a figment of an imagination or a thought, but He is not a personal thing in our lives. We can kid ourselves and say that He truly is, but He has not become that very personal one that there's intimacy there. There's a love and there's a sense of love that nothing can shatter that. For the least thing shatter our love against Him and our thoughts. It doesn't take the enemy much to cause our minds to be carried away under some dark arena, some dark place whereby the thought of the Father is just void in a man's heart. Now that is not what He wanted Messiah, because in that dark age at that time, He had been removed from the minds of the thoughts of men. So they began to go and go after strange deities. And they began to pursue all kinds of gods and all kinds of personalities, whereby they were in a quagmire of such sin and such corruption, such wickedness, that even the very law and the Word of Yahweh did not even reprove their hearts. Not at all. And so He came in the form of that body. And a flesh, in weary flesh, and the flesh got weary. Messiah's flesh got weary. He got weary in His flesh. He got weary, that's why He needed the drink of the refreshing of His soul. He needed to drink from the living well. And there's a well that we must drink from. There's a fountain that never runs dry. And it flows from a man's soul. There's one thing about a fountain. There are fountains in the earth today that have ran since the day the earth was created. You must understand that in the beginning that the fountains from beneath broke and water trickled to the earth. And there are fountains that have ran for hundreds, literally thousands of years. They have an endless source of supply. The water supply there runs constantly. Hundreds of years, they have never gone dry. Now we must drink from that fountain whereby it never runs dry. When a man found himself in a place, as Messiah said, hanging on that cross, he said, I thirst. He was thirsty. For he was ready to face a challenge that only Yahweh could take him through it. We are headed to a challenge that only the Father is going to be able to take us through it. The reason why? We don't consider Messiah. And so that's why we get weary. He endured such contradiction of sinners. They spat upon Him. They did all kinds of things against Him. And so this is the generation that gets very weary because we don't consider the workings of Yahshua that was done in the flesh, in the body of flesh, to give us a constant presence before the Father, living source of our life. He breathed into man. He said to Mary, you're going to bring forth a son, a child. And he shall be the redemption of Israel. He shall be the one that restore unto Israel life. And he is the one. He is the only one that restores life unto true Israel. Nothing else can. No one else can. No emotions or feelings, anything like that. And as Messiah said, I thirst. He said, I thirst. He needed something to satisfy the very yearnings and the very trial of his soul. For all the apostles had forsook him. They had left him. And there he was on that cross by himself. Unless there was a certainty that he knew in his heart that the Father was with him. For all the men that he had called and placed upon them rich anointings, he had to share with them the power of the Father and made known the Father in a personal way unto them. They all forsook him and they began to go their own ways. They went to their homes and they went to their own activities. And in that latter hour, he began to thirst. He needed a drink from the well. He needed to be revived for this challenge that was upon him and it was beckoning for his soul. He had to know for sure that the breath was in him that had come certainly from the Father. And so they grabbed a sponge with vinegar and gall. Now that is the life of the saints today. It's full of bitter things and hard things. It's full of afflictions and suffering. And they thrust that into the mouth of Messiah. And that is what is happening today. That the enemy is trying to get that down into your soul. Into the inward parts that he can cast out the very life or the strength of that living well in a man's soul. He wants to pollute the well. He doesn't want the well. The well or fountain cannot from the same place bring forth bitter and sweet water. It can't do it. It can't do it. It must bring forth one bitter water or sweet water. And so what they try to do is cause the waters of the well to become bitter. And yet Yahweh, knowing the challenge of Messiah, as he knows our challenges, he knows what things we must encounter in this hour. Why? Because the forces of darkness are being unleashed upon the face of the earth to draw the soul out of a man. And his assurance that with 3 days and three nights, he will get him out of the grave. He had that assurance. And that is our only assurance today that there's a resurrection of hope through Messiah. That he gave us the hope that there is a resurrection. May I say to you, my friends, it's not going to come any other way. It's not going to come by any other perpetrator. It's not going to come by any works of ours. It's not going to come by any of our goodness. It's not going to come by any of your faithfulness. It is his faithfulness unto us because his word, the law of his word, not one jot or one tittle is going to ever pass from his word. Not any man can rob your way of his identity in his truth. I don't care what he has done, how they do it. They cannot rob him of his identity of whom he truly is. For the other gods are not like him. They don't walk in the same way. They don't prescribe the same mythology. There's so many mythologies today. So many methods. So many ways of finding inner peace. There's only one way. Messiah has prayed for us to have peace. Yahshua. And that is why we can have peace today. He didn't pray for the world to have peace, but he prayed for the called out elect of Yahweh that we may have peace. And that is our assurance of peace. It is not because we cry and weep, but because he has already prayed the prayer and he knows that the Father always heareth him. And so he answers prayers because it was a prayer according to the will of the Father. And so that is our assurance in the midst of blight, trials and affliction, death, ostracized and cast away. It is the assurance of the peace that he has given unto us through that eternal hope, his Son coming in the power of flesh to bring glory to him and to put a closure on all things, that there is only one. There are not many, but there is only one. And he is known by all, by the same name, to all in the same name. And he wanted to make that name clear in the earth that all men may know him. That's why he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And all, Yahweh is the only one that can draw men unto him. He brings them on to him. That's why Jeremiah, as he began to speak unto the house of Israel in Judah, for they had gone astray from the Father. They had backslid. They began to go after their own pernicious evil ways. And the mindset of this generation today, it is being seduced by the activities of the world and the things that are perceived to be very luscious, and they grant unto you some sense of stability, but they don't grant anything at all. Our stability is only in Messiah. That is the only sure testimony, saints. Even our testimonies have no power at all. They don't keep us from day to day. There's only one testimony that keeps you from day to day. And that is how we're going to overcome in this hour. That is the only way. By the blood of Messiah, by his testimony, and that we love not our lives unto the death. For our testimonies of what he has done for us is know what he has done. What he has done, not what we have done to him or for him, what he has done. Now that is the only testimony today. And that is the testimony of strength and power. It is the one of total deliverance. And if we don't have that testimony, we're not going to be delivered. Israel had gone back and began to do things that were not pleasing unto the Father. And we look at our daily activities in our lives. How they go back into Egypt. The thoughts of Egypt. How we're drawn back by that spirit of Egypt. To take us into a place of perils and darkness. Whereby it's difficult to pray. It's difficult to cry out. It's difficult to acknowledge Him. It's difficult to shake it off. It's difficult to pray it off. And it's difficult to fast it off. It's almost a difficult peril that we are in today. And the only hope of our assurance is the testimony. For he overcame the world, the powers of darkness, when Satan came from the heavens to try the identity and the validity of Yahweh's truth. He spoke one thing, and that was the word of faith. Man shall not live by these sumptuous things, but by every word of Yahweh, by the written words, by the word of truth, the word of power, the unction from heaven. Now that is the place he must get us into, saints. That we live by every word, by his truth, by the written word of hope. He must get us into that place. And the only way he's going to do that is going to be a trial. It's going to be a trial. Such as never before. It's going to be an affliction. Such as never before. And your staying power is a testimony. Your staying power is a testimony. Without that testimony, you're not going to stay. You're not going to endure. You're not going to be able to persevere. You're not going to be able to bear the very things that are coming upon the face of the earth. You're not going to go through the challenge of death. You're not going to be able to overcome death. The power of death will hold you down. It will bind you where you can't pray. You can't trust him. You have no faith. You can't cry out. You can't acknowledge him. And the testimony of Messiah has no validity at all. And that is what the enemy is doing. For he came unto Messiah, he knew he was. If thou be the son of Yahweh, if you're certain of who you are, then do this. That's what he said. And so the words are the same today. They're no different. As Messiah, Yahweh is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Satan is the same. He is the same. There's an effeminate, seductive spirit about him. He is the same. He has never changed. A very effeminate spirit. He has not changed one bit at all. And so the Father has not changed. What he used to save Israel, it was his spoken word. He has done the very same thing to save you. It is his written word that has been spoken by him. He is not doing it some other way or some different way. It is the same way. For his word will stand the sure test of time and nothing can destroy it. Nothing. He has no other mythology to save you than he did Israel. He saved them by his word. He saved them by the promise that he gave unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he has saved us. So he has saved us by the same promise. And he has not changed. His words have not changed. Why? Because he is the everlasting word. He is the everlasting truth. He is the word become flesh. And Yahshua in that body was the fullness of Yahweh in a body. You cannot get any fullness of that no more than in the body. in Yahshua in flesh. That was the fullness of that. And what he has done unto you, he has sent you the fullness of his spirit. And in this house, the fullness of Yahweh's anointing, we can say to the mountain, we truly can, saints, we can cause the mountain to be rooted up and cast out into the sea of forgetfulness. It's a dark place. We can overcome every workings of hell and every power of darkness. And we can be one in him as he and the Father are one, as he said unto the Father in his prayer. And that is the place we need to get into. Now the only way we're going to get there is there's going to be a trial. There's going to be an affliction upon the saints. Whereby their flesh will not rise up against them, against the Father. That he will have, or you will have no identity with any lineage or any flesh. We'll walk as the family of faith. And one family indeed. And it will identify with Almighty Yah. We won't identify with any carnality or anything at all. It will identify with him and him alone. Now that's what Israel did. He had bestowed a mighty blessing upon them. They were nothing. They were people that they were called. What he said, you had no identity. You had no strength. You were cast out as filth. And he chose a people that was worthless. Were we not worthless? We had no worth in our sins and our corruption. Drunkards as we were. And every kind of whoredom and every kind of sin. Every kind of vile thing that our minds could conjure up. We did those things. We were worthless. We were destined for the fire of darkness. We were not good kindling for hell at all. And yet he saw a worthless person through the time, through the age of time. We did not become worse something for him to save us. He saved us from the beginning because he knew that we all were worthless. All flesh is as grass. And that does not exclude any flesh at all. It is all worthless. So it would have made no difference whom he saved. It was still the same. They were all worthless. And yet through the chronicles of time he saw. He knew. He was the beginning of time. He's the end of all things. He was the beginning of our birth. As a seed went forth in our parents. And he brought forth life. No, it was not the doctor's spank that brought forth life into the child. It was the breath. It was the spirit of Yahweh. For in that spirit is only life. Even in death, there's only life in the spirit. Because Messiah went out in the grave, and yet he was alive. He went down into the grave, he went down into the parts of hell, and overcame every wicked spirit, showed himself openly. And those that were bowed in shackles showed them, there's a hope, this thing that you have waited on. This is the reality of it. That Yahweh coming in flesh to bring unto you your liberation. And the saints got him out of the grave, and they went into Jerusalem, shouting and dancing in the spirit. Walking under that anointing and that cloud of victory. And that is our cloud of victory. They die waiting for that. We have seen that. And we know that it is real. It is alive. It is our hope. It is the thing that keeps our hearts from day to day. For he got up with great power and great victory over every power of darkness. As we awaken out of our slum each day, we ought to get up each day with victory over every sin. Every corrupt thing that we battled against yesterday, we are to overcome it today. It should not bind us, should not take us under the captivity of that thing. But we are not the tail, but we are the head. And we should take charge of that by the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. You're never going to deal with issues. The issues that flow out of you. It's going to have to be done by touching him. We're going to have to touch him in a mighty way, saints. And the way we've been touching him, it has not been a good way. We've been touching him in a way that he's unclean. He's not unclean. That's what he always said to Israel. He said, have your fathers found iniquity in me? He said, tell me the sin that they have found in me. Am I a liar? Am I a perverted thing? What iniquity have they found in me? What wickedness? What corruption? He said, you've gone way back. You've gone after things that are not helpful to you. You've cried after those things that destroy the faith of your heart. Cause you to sin against me. And the things that most folks pray for today, it doesn't bring the glory of his identity into their lives. The glory of that identity, their fruit that comes forth from our souls. You pray for things that we ought not to pray for. He did not pray for the world. He prayed that Yahweh would keep them that were given up to him. He has not changed that. He knows the beginning from the end. He's established everything. And for us to have that mind to understand all things, we must have the mind of Messiah. That's what we must have. We can't be barren in this hour. A man that is barren, there are no fruit in his life. There's obedience unto the Father. There's no submissiveness. There's no will to obey and to go after Him. Why? Because a man, when he began to go straying from the Father, he has said to Yahweh, find sin in you. That's why Yisrael began to backslide. They began to do their own things. And Yahweh said, what, have your fathers found iniquity in me? Is there wickedness in me? Can you identify an unclean thing in me? Are you that perverted, Yisrael? Is this house that perverted? What we call this identity of Yahweh today. Is it that perverted that we truly call Him and say that He has committed iniquity? He has wronged us. He has not done things the way we perceive Him to do it, or He ought to have done it. And we have more wisdom than He possesses, and we can tell Him and counsel Him how things ought to be done. And yet in our own perverted ways, that's what we tell Him. In our own corrupt prayers, that's what we tell Him. In our own foul ways, that's what we try to tell Him. In our own seductive and sadistic ways, that's what we always try to tell the Father. I want you to change things to satisfy me. And He said, no, I won't do it. He didn't do it with Messiah. He died. He prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out, if it's possible. He knew that all things was possible. If a man believed Yahweh, all things are possible to them that believeth. He knew that. Amen. But that wasn't in the will and the meat and the strength of His testimony. The strength of His testimony was to do the will of Him that sent Him. And He had to finish it. Where? From the grave. From the grave. And that's how you're going to finish it too, from the grave. This old flesh must die. It must go down to the grave of death and be resurrected a new creature. It must be. We must die in that baptism in Yeshua, a barrier of baptism into that water. This flesh should be crucified, destroyed, whereby it doesn't rise up against the truth of the Father. And there's no identity of black or white, Jewish, Mexican, any kind of flesh. There's only one body. There's only one mind and one spirit that governs that body and control that identity of Almighty Yahweh. That's all, saints. It can't be separate and segregated to ideas and opinion. It must be one. Messiah and the Father were one. And so He cannot come to do something diametrically opposed unto the Father. He had to come in His strength and His name, His character, His purpose and His glory, that He may finish the will of the Father. And in that testimony of hope, we must come in the same character, the same walk, live the same lives as Messiah. We must do it just the way He did it. He overcame by faith because He believed. But the Father said unto Him what He was sent forth to do. That's the only way. And so that's why there's not a great amount of fruit, a great amount of victory in the lives of the people today. That's why, saints, He has given us power to overcome. He said, Yisrael, have you found any iniquity in me? What's vile in me? What have you found in me that is so distasteful that you cannot obey me? That you will not adhere to what I say? What have I said to you to cause you to backslide? To go sliding backwards? To slide back into perdition? To slide back into a confidence of your flesh? To slide back into your own interpretation, your private interpretation. He said, tell me, what have you done? What have I done to cause you to do that? I'll set the prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah. I'll set these men before you. Here's Jeremiah before you to speak my proclamation. He assured Jeremiah, as the word of Yahweh came unto him, he said, before you were formed, in your mother's belly, in the womb of your mother, I knew you. He knew the man. He knew who he was because he had ordained that. Before he was ever formed, before he was ever conceived, he knew him. And so by knowing that, I've sent you forth with a charge, and knowing that there's no other that knew you before I did. There's nobody else that can say that. No other God, no spirits of darkness can say before you ever formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. And no one in say that to us but Him. Your mother can't say that. Your father can't say it. Almighty Yahweh is the only one that can say it. Before you ever created your mother's womb, before the seed ever came in, I knew you. He did not say, I know of you, I knew you. I knew exactly what you were, the character, your desire. I knew everything. Why? Because I put it there. So he knew him. He knew him. Just like he knows us. He knows every last one of us. He knows our frames. He knows our abilities. He knows our insignificance and our significance. And our significance unto him is that we make known him and his power and the glory of his name, that the earth may know that there's only one, and not many, but only one. As he did with Israel, that his name be exalted above the heights of the heavens, and that they may know that he was living your way and no one else like him. He says in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, thus saith Yahweh, what iniquity have your father found in me? He said that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and become vain. Now what sins, he said, have your father found in me that they have gone away from me? What have I begun to care for this life, and the things of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches in the end? It chokes out the love for Almighty Yahweh. So he said, what is the iniquity that you found in? What is the sin? Am I unfair? Is my judgment wrong? But did you have actually turned away from me, and you have gone out to vanity, and you have become vain? You're worthless. There's nothing in you. There's no character. There's no identity of anything that is worth anything in you. When a man begins to go away from him, when a man begins to go back on the Father, it's because that man has become vain. He loves vain things. He loves the things that bring forth vanity to him. It gives him some kind of identity. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. And so when a man begins to walk backwards on the Father. That's why Yahweh brought Israel out into the wilderness for those 40 years. To discard and to tear down that vain spirit. There's one thing that they began to cry out. The first thing is that in Egypt we had our garlic, we had our flesh pot, we had everything that we needed. Now you brought us out here in this wilderness to die. No water. He intended for them to die in the wilderness. He intended for their petty ways and their flesh to die. He intended for their flesh to be destroyed. And once the flesh is destroyed, truly a man can fall prostrate before him and cry. And intercede in a way as never before. That is the thing that troubles us and calls us not to intercede. Our flesh becomes weary. It gets tired. It begins to ask questions. The mind of the flesh began to resort to all kinds of thinkings and logics. Your mind is here in Africa, is here in London, is in Egypt, is everywhere, but on the things that we ought to be mindful of. And so we come before him. There has not been a true crucifixion of the flesh. And the flesh constantly rise up, and we get weary just in a small time in his presence. We can't touch him. Why? Because the old flesh hates him, and it doesn't want to relegate itself unto the charge of what the Father commands us to do. It will not receive the commands of Almighty Yahweh. So flesh become very sensitive to the nature of the flesh. And it doesn't want to do what the spiritual man is speaking unto him. The spirit of Yahweh, the man, he speaks that these are the things that I command and charge you to do. And the flesh diametrically oppose that and say, nay, I won't do it. Because there has not been a crucifixion and a death of the flesh. We have not crucified it. Beloved, have it therefore these promises. Let us crucify. Let us crucify the flesh. Let us destroy the element of the flesh. They will not rise up against the Father. So what is Yahweh's iniquities? He said, what are my iniquities? That you've actually gone back on me. You go back because of kinsmen. You go back because of relatives and sons and daughters. You go back on the way that he brought you down a path. Don't you understand when he brought in Israel to a certain place? There were places in their lives. He brought them that they didn't even trust him. They were out in the wilderness, no water, yet he was the fountain of living water. Yahweh was. He was a fountain of water to refresh their souls. And yet instead of them crying out, they began to do the same thing this nation and the people do today. They began to murmur. And they so vexed about him, Yahweh sold Moses. And Yahweh told him what to do. Speak to the rock. And he's going to pour it out. He's going to refresh. He's going to do something more there from the natural man. There's going to be a well of life that will fill their souls. And the world is going to spring forth that living source of life down in their souls. And because he did that, Yahweh could not fulfill that promise right there that he intended for them to do. And so he can't do it for us. For when the rock speaks, you smite at him. You hit him with your flesh. You get angry. You get upset. You despise what he says. So you're still smiting the rock. You're hitting the rock. And you're smiting it again. And so that living source of the well of life can never flow from a man's soul. Why? Because you're constantly smiting the rock. We're constantly fighting against the rock. Constantly smiting it. And so we don't sense that living source to revive our souls in this hour, to bring the breath of refreshing in our souls. Very little breath of refreshing in the souls of men today. Did I refresh my spiritual things today? Did I refresh my carnal things? Football games, basketball, television, wicked things. They refresh by things like they're eating and filling their bellies to the full. That's what they're refreshed by. It's not spiritual laws that refresh them. A new frock, a new pair of pants, a new pair of shoes. Those are the things that cause them to get excited today. Those kinds of things. To see the activity of the wicked. It doesn't vex their souls like it did a righteous Lot. But they get excited about it. They rejoice in it. He said, what iniquity have you found in me? Tell me the sins you found in him. Is he unfair? Has he done us righteously? He's done us more than righteously. Even in the fire of our bondage, he's done us more than righteously. We walked out of his way. We've gone after strange spirits. Because they promise you things of vanity. And seek to satisfy your vain mind and your vain desire. And you find yourself slid back unto a way that is corrupt and vile. That you speak unto Yahweh and say, your ways are not right. And that's what this generation is doing. The only way we're going to be free of that, we need to hear his word, continue in that. And as we continue that, we know the truth, and truth makes us free. It breaks the bondage of our lives. Give us liberation in that captivity. And that's what we need today, saints. We need men that Yahweh has ordained after his own heart. And will give us the truth and speak unto us and feed us with knowledge and understanding. That's what we need today. Need men to be raised up by his power and spirit to proclaim without any indifferences. Make no difference who it is or what they think or what they say, but they could proclaim the clarity of his truth. Too much muddy water today. Too much muttering. And the water is muttered. So many ways, so many different thoughts, so many concepts. And yet they all say they're going into the same kingdom. And it leads them all into darkness. Not into the light. He brought them in a way that whereby they couldn't even see his glorious light. And what he had to do is shine forth and say, let me do this, that they may know that it's me. And he would do that. And they still didn't believe. He would take them a little farther and say, let me show you a mighty thing. I'm going to feed you with some food that your flesh, the only way it's going to receive it, it must know that it came from me. And they saw the manna rain from heaven. They saw the quails come in. And he fed them, filled them. He said to them, just get enough for what you need for the Shabbat. Don't get more, just get enough. And those that got less, it was enough for them and their families. And when you began to hoard, the stench and the worms began to come in and corrupt. And that's what men are doing today. They're hoarding for their flesh. I don't see why no reason I can't. I don't see why it shouldn't be a possibility for me. I don't see why I should not be able. And that's why you sense the stench of flesh today. That's why you see the stench of flesh in expressions, the attitudes, the desires, their minds. It's not Messiah's mind. He had one mindset, to do the will of the Father and to finish it. That should be our only will and our only desire. To do his will and to finish it. What? Through trials, finish it. In death, finish it. Tribulation, finish it. Whatever it takes, Father. In suffering, finish it. In afflictions, finish it. That should be the desire of the people. Nothing else. Because anything beyond that is all vanity. When a man began to relish in vanity, he began to fall backwards. He began to slide backwards to his own ways. And he becomes so corrupt that his mind becomes seared. His conscience becomes so seared. He cannot hear the word of Yahweh. He cannot hear reproof, correction, the rebuke, the glad tidings. He can't hear anything at all. Because the mind is seared, it's corrupt, filthy, and it's vile. And so he said, where is iniquity your father found in me? Tell me what I've done. Show me what I've done, he said. Show me my sins. Show me my vile ways and my evil ways. One that brought you out, established my name in the midst. I raised up a servant unto you. You saw my glory in his personage. They saw the glory of Yahweh in Moses. That they cannot even look upon his face and put a veil on his face. When you get that righteous glow in your heart, you will know, brother, sister, got that glow and that righteous anointing of Yahweh. Your sins will not be able to reproach them. Your sins will not be able to condemn them. And you can't look upon them righteously. You can't do that. He just didn't do that for Moses. That was the example unto the body. So he did it for his soul. But because we have charged him with iniquity, we have gone the slide back because our minds are captivated by this vain earth today. It's going to be destroyed and everything in it. It's a temporal thing. And you're always going to bring it down to nothing. It is not a long time off. As the hurricane Isabel came through, they mocked Yahweh. The little slogan, the little sign, blow, Isabel, blow. Is that all you can do? Is that all the punch you got, these mockers? As you were fools. And yet they relish with this mocking spirit today. Dashing and have their Isabel parties and doing all of that. They're going to hell. No fear. They'll receive the warnings of Yahweh as the trumpet blows. They can hear the trumpet, that sound when the hurricane came through with the blowing of the blare of that trumpet. So they mock him. They make mockery of him. They make fun of him. And yet the hurricane of death is coming through. The hurricane of terror is going to come through this earth. And America is going to be the pathway of it. It's going to rise here in this eastern nation. It's going to set forth in the nations of the West. Surely as a sound is going to come out of this nation. Why? Because she's corrupt. She's vile today. She charged Yahweh with iniquity. And a religious stupor. A sinful wicked ways. She's established every kind of righteousness. But the righteousness of his statutes, his laws, his covenants and his commandments. They despise that today. His name is blasphemed. His name is cursed today. They don't love it. He has a name and it's not Lord God either. He has a name and it's a genuine name. He doesn't have a generic name. He's not identified with Buddha. He's Yahweh Almighty. Whether you like it or not, that's his name. He didn't come to Jeremiah as some Lord or some God. He let him know who he was. You say, have your fathers found iniquity in me? None whatsoever. None. He says in verse 8, this is the lying preachers today. The priest said not, where is Yahweh? And they that handled the law knew me not. You tell me men that handled the law, and that hour knew not Yahweh. Jeremiah 2:8. He said, the priests, those that handled the law, they knew me not. They didn't even know him. And those that handled the law today, do they know him? He's speaking unto a house. He said, Jeremiah, they didn't even handle my law. Even the priests say, they began to speak, say, where's Yahweh? Where's this mighty move of his power? Where is this one that you identify with? And those that handle his law, the statues, they didn't even know him. They're graduating about the thousands out of these whore institutions. They're bringing them out to pervert and to corrupt. They don't even know the righteous Yahweh. They don't even know Messiah. They got this smooth prophecy that the people want to hear. Prophesy unto us smooth things. They don't want to hear about their sins. They don't want to understand their vanities. He said, even those that had him a law, they don't even know the law. They don't even know me. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't understand the peril and what things that they're doing that there's a price to pay. Did they even corrupt my law? And these men that they hound this religious order today, they don't know him. That's why they're religious. They're not sanctified. They're not filled with this anointing. There was one that was. His name was Jeremiah. And he knew him. He knew him before he was formed. He knew that one. Why? Because he knew that he would speak. He knew it. And he wept, yeah, he wept for Israel, but he wept at what things they had done to the father, that it's hard to sense the pain. He said, the priest said not, where is Yahweh? And they that handled the law knew me not. He said, the pastors also transgress against me. They sin, they lie, the greedy dogs, the dumb dogs, they did it for their own, for themselves. They're trying to establish their name. That's why you have these lawn dogs today. T.D. Jake ministry. Kenny Copeland ministry. Nothing about Yahweh. They establish themselves. They don't establish the power of his name. He said that the priest you curse. Yes, that is Melchizedek is the same as tithing offering when they will not identify with his name. The curse is the same. He said, the prophets prophesied by Baal, by the spirit of lordship, and walk after things that do not profit. He said, wherefore, I will plead with you, saith Yahweh. He said, and with your children's children will I plead. He said, for pass over unto the Isle of Shittim, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. He said, I want you to go and see if what I'm saying is right. You look at this generation today, you don't have to be a seer to see what they're doing. You don't have to be a spiritual man. You just got to have just a little fear of reverence unto the Father. And you can see the corruption. You can pass from Charlotte up to New York. We go from New York to Los Angeles. You go from Los Angeles to Jefferson. Pass over to Shittim and go over to Kedar and see what I say. See if it be so. He said, have a nation change their gods. Not one, but gods. That's poor there. Which are yet no gods. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. They have changed the glory of Yahweh for those things that profit him nothing. The identity of any man's nationality is personage, it doesn't profit him nothing. So they've changed the glory of Yahweh for their own personal gain and their own personal satisfaction. That's what they've done. And they are doing that today. They despise his laws. Why? Because they don't know how to handle his laws. They're not a speakers to the pastors are full of sin and lies and corruption. They're full of it. They're full of their selves and their greed. Establishing their kingdoms here, their riches and their heritage and their wicked sons and their whorish daughters. Jezebels and perverters. They're transgressing. And they're causing the people to transgress. Speaking to them lies. And telling them it's all right. Telling them that Yahweh understands. No, their God understands. But not the mighty one. He calls us onto a sanctification. A cleanliness. A purifying. And separating ourselves for one purpose. And that is worship and service unto him. In the tabernacle. In the temple of his dwelling. It's where he wants his people. That they may worship him. That there will be no interference. Nothing that will prevent them from going into that glorious presence of Yahweh. We haven't gotten there. Because if we head out there, you will see the glory upon us. No man can stand in his presence. And there is no glory revealed unto that man. So you haven't gotten there. We haven't walked in that presence. When Messiah healed that woman in issue blood, I don't believe her countenance was down. I believe that there was a joy and a strength of will in that woman's soul. I believe she shouted, I've never met a man like this one. You will know when you come into his presence. We walk in the presence of Satan all the time. And so that's why there's an expression of flesh all the time. Flesh is always expressed. His lies, his anger. It's respect the person, unfeigned love. You always love. This love is pure. You got any kind of feigned love, you're not going into the kingdom. You must honor the brothers and sisters and prefer them before you prefer yourselves. And that's the truth. He said, be ye astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith Yahweh. He said, now for my people, his people, who are called by his name. That's what they're called by. They're not called by any other name. What name is the people of Yahweh called by? He said, for my people, they've committed two evils. That's what they've done, two evils. He said, they have forsaken. Listen now. See what that says. He said, well, the first evil is this. They have forsaken me. Me, he said. Me. I want you to get that. I want that to settle in your souls. He said, they have forsaken me. Well, who are you? The fountain. He is the fountain. Yahweh is. He said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken Yahweh, he is the fountain of living waters. He said, they have hewn them out cisterns, and they're broken cisterns that cannot hold no water. Now, the first evil, they have forsaken me. He must identify himself from old to the new. And if he is the fountain of living water, he must be identified in the new covenant unto man. He cannot just be the fountain unto the house of Israel and not our fountain in this covenant day, in covenant of grace. He said, first of all, they have forsaken me. They have forsaken me. You always say that. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken me, he said, and I am the fountains of living waters. Out of me, that comes forth from me in the refreshing to a man's soul. I am the fountain of living waters. I'm the fountains of living waters. There's a flowing stream that flows from a man's soul. The waters of hope, the waters of faith. They're forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. And so the wells are dried up today. For their hearts have forsaken him. And they've gone astray unto, away from him. And they've fallen broken cisterns. That's why their hearts are broken. That's why their minds are broken. They're trying to put water in those things that they think that will hold or cause peace to fill their hearts. But folly and frivolity, they don't cause peace in your hearts. You built your systems, or your vats, or your holding vessels, and they can't hold nothing. You can't put nothing in them. You can't put a promise in them. You can't put no faith in them. You can't put no hope in them. You put hope, you put faith in them, and they break. And they break. And then you wonder, you begin to question Yahweh, is there iniquity in him? He said, you have created your own systems, and they're all broken. They don't last long. They don't hold any waters at all. You have forsaken me, and I'm the fountain of living waters. A man that drinks from this well, from that well of Jacob. Don't you know that woman of Samaria, Jacob was her father too. The Messiah came out of the same loin, or the same lineage of Jacob as well. But there was no dealing with the Jews and the people of Samaria, but they came out of the same house. She said, her father Jacob built that well. That's what she said. She said, her father Jacob. And Jacob was the one that built that well. So she was not estranged. No, she wasn't. She was not estranged from the house of Yahweh. That one bit at all. That one bit. Because she knew father Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knew that this was Jacob's well. He said, you drink from that, you're going to thirst again. You're going to thirst if you drink from that one. You're going to thirst. Yahweh said, I'm the fountain of living waters. When you drink from him, he will never thirst. And he sent a well into our lives. He sent forth a well. He sent forth a spring, and that spring is your shoe, the salvation of man. That's what he did. He said, I am. And out of him came a well of life, came a well of living water. That's what it came forth. It did not spring up by itself, but it came forth from the waters of Yahweh. He's the fountain of living waters. And out of him flow the living waters. The living waters that flow from Yahweh. He is the fountain of living waters. He refreshes a man's soul in the midst of a dry land, in the midst of trials and burdens upon his soul.